Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
The drive and the two.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielma, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. If you like looking for earthworms, like if you're loading up on some bait to fish.
There you go.
Not that you really want to ideal fish in July, but you should have a chance over the next 10 days. I think Betsy, Trevor, don't even say it. I think she said that it's supposed to rain the next 10 days.
Today would have been a good day for me to actually do a weather.
Yeah, you want to try it?
Sure.
Let's do that because I don't know who do. Let's say Carl.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go with Carl. Here we go. Hold on. We're doing this backwards, but since you know we will be building ARC soon, we better do this.
Here's your ESPN Radio 3-Day Forecast brought to you by Carl. Lon said to say him.
Carl, baby.
One of our sponsors. I'll just tell you to go to carl.org.
There you go.
If you have a medical thing going on.
They're so big, they go with carl.org.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't even need the .com.
No need for the .com.
Okay.
The My Carl will tell you all you need to know about how overweight you are or what your blood pressure is.
Oh,
I hate
boy.
That they take your blood pressure right when you get
right
in.
Right when you get there.
And they go, well, it's a little high. And it's like, well, yeah, because you're about to poke me with something.
Correct.
Anyways, I digress. That's not really a sponsor for Carl. That's like an attack on them.
But it's not their fault. They're trying to save your life. So
right now it's 70 and raining. Tomorrow, 84 and raining. Saturday, 88 and raining. Sunday, 88 and raining. Monday, 86 and raining. Tuesday, 86 raining. Wednesday, 84 raining. Next Thursday, 83 raining.
What? How about Friday?
It's going to rain for the next 10 days. We have a flash flood watch in effect for this area this weekend.
Incredible.
In chances of getting like upwards of 8 inches over the next basically 4 or 5 days.
It's bad. I'm telling you, as an insurance agent, I can tell you, make sure that you've got coverage on your basement, right? Make sure your sump pump is working, all of that good stuff, because we are honestly in for a lot of rain. I saw there was a county. I don't remember where I saw it, but there was a county that got over 3 inches of rain, and I think in an hour. That's a lot of rain. So, let's take this serious because this stuff can get in on you in a hurry. And I know down in Villa Grove today we got pummeled with rain. I think Philo as well, all in that area, Tuscola. And I think it was coming across like Mahomet and that. I'm sure you guys got a ton here.
Yep.
I could tell as I drove into town. So it is crazy. So let's take this serious and just know that it's going to rain for the next 10 days. That stinks in the middle of summer. You know, and what's funny is that for a lot of kids, baseball and softball is wrapping up. So what we do anymore with our kids, and I'm a number one issue, is that we don't let our kids have really a summer like we used to have. And when I say we, and like maybe I'm stretching it here with you guys. You didn't have travel ball, though, when you were young.
We did probably.
A little bit?
Middle school on.
Okay. So, I mean, back when we played, like in Villa Grove, I think we played 10 Little League games and had a tournament. So your summer wasn't dominated by sports, essentially. And now you've got basketball going on along with baseball. And just all of a sudden, if you're a kid, you look at it and you're like, I've got 18 days left until school starts. And all I've been doing every day is waking up and either going to golf practice, doing basketball camp, doing basketball games. So now all of a sudden, all that's wrapping up. And now it's going to rain every day. That's not fair to the kids.
It's not.
I'm here to
defend
the children.
You're supposed to have some days to at least, you know, play some front yard hoop.
Exactly. You get on your bike and ride around town.
Ride around, play Madden in your underwear till 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Sleep until noon, and nobody cares. I mean, as a parent, I used to love when my kids would sleep late because then it would give me the chance to do whatever or watch a show that I wanted to watch instead of them getting up needing Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, let's take our time. All right, we're going to talk some NBA here and some Illinois basketball. They found out an opponent for this coming season. We're way ahead of here, but this is what they do. I want to tell you about a couple of guests that we feel strong that they're going to be able to join us. And it's in the 5 o'clock hour. Hank Beatty. He is an Illini commit, Rochester, Illinois. He's a wide receiver. He's coming to play for Coach Bielma. He's part of this group of a lot of Illinois guys that are buying in right now to this new coaching staff. So we tried to get Hank on about a month ago, but he had a track meet that night that ended up getting in the way. So we're hoping to get him on at 5:05. And then at 5:30, the head Illini football trainer, Jeremy Bush, he is a wonderful guy. I met him this past weekend at baseball, shocking, and had a chance to visit with him quite a bit. And he was telling me about how, you know, he's kind of an integral part, not just him, but also trainers for basketball. And Derek, this is stuff you know, but probably the common person, when I say that, is like me, doesn't realize how much a trainer can even get involved in a recruiting visit. So he was telling me a little bit about that. You know, a lot of times the parents will ask questions of him and, you know, how do you go about treating injuries, that kind of thing. So I asked Jeremy if that'd be cool. I know they're doing staff meetings today over in the football office, but he thought by 5:30 he should be able to join us. So excited to do that. So we're going to be guesty in the 5 o'clock hour. For right now, Illinois basketball found out the Gavitt games that they're going to be playing in the – I mean, I guess everybody plays in the Gavitt games, right? This is this the old ACC versus Big Ten or
–
No, that's not right.
Not every – they kind of have a rotating
– Oh, okay.
List, I guess you could say, as far as you don't play in it every year.
Okay.
This year, as we're talking about now, Illinois is in it. They're playing at Marquette.
Oh.
So how early – I guess June is when we can sit here and say, so we got – the Gavitt game's opponent known. We know mm-hmm. you're going to play Arizona. You're going to play Bragging Rights. You're going to play an ACC Big Ten opponent. And then you're going to go to the Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City.
Oh, that's right.
And play.
There's Kansas State, right?
Kansas State, Arkansas, who went to the Elite Eight last year.
Mm.
Cincinnati, and then Illinois.
Okay. And now, will they play all of those teams, or they'll square up against two of them, maybe?
Two of them.
Okay. So they'll play two of them in that. So that, I think you just ripped off five games already set. And, of course, you know, like in the Big Ten slate, there'll be, what, 18 or 20?
20.
20 games in the Big Ten. And Illinois' schedule was released, at least for the, not in terms of when we know they're when they're playing, but the teams they're playing. And it didn't look great when it came to the, you know, the teams you're only playing once versus the teams you're playing twice and who you're playing on the road and home, et cetera.
It wasn't overly horrible. It wasn't overly favorable, but then again, you're one of the top teams in the league last year.
There you go.
You have a chance to be in that same conversation this year, so
why not?
Face the tough slate, man.
Let's see what you got. Illinois, so they find out against Marquette.
I can read you the rest of the Gavitt games.
Let's hear that.
If you're curious. Ohio State will play at Xavier.
Okay.
St. John's will play at Indiana. Seton Hall will go to Ann Arbor and play Michigan.
Do you think that Ohio State is not liking that game against Xavier? I mean, that's kind of like... If you,
the rivalry aspect,
yeah,
you're talking
that'd be
about.
Like Illinois playing DePaul almost. Although, yeah. Well, let me rephrase it. Xavier's a lot better than DePaul, but you know what I mean. It's almost like, okay, Xavier's really good, and they've been really good for a while, but yet there's Ohio State. What the heck?
It's got some intrigue. I like the in-state.
I do
the
too.
In-state clash.
I do too.
But I get what you're saying as far as Ohio State. The perception is you should win that game.
Yes.
And then if you lose it, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's true. That's true. Okay, I interrupted you.
You're good. Michigan State will play at Butler. How about that one?
Oh. So Michigan goes to where's Seton Hall?
Seton Hall will go to Ann Arbor and play Michigan.
Is that like a just we're going to give you a win, Michigan? Is Seton Hall supposed to be good this year? They've been pretty good.
They were pretty solid last year.
Okay. Didn't they lose their stud?
Is Mamu... Kishvili back? Is he gone?
I don't know if he's gone or not. I think
he might have gone pro.
Okay. All right. Maybe he is. So, okay. So, Michigan State gets Butler.
Uh-oh. Lost my spot. Page refreshing. Here we go.
It's because I keep interrupting.
Illinois at Marquette. Rutgers at DePaul, and that's going to be must-see TV.
Oh, boy.
And Creighton at Nebraska.
Trevor. Creighton at Nebraska. Okay, another not must-see TV. Is Nebraska, are they going to be any better? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Nah, let's don't worry about that. We got a long time before. We got to talk Nebraska football before we talk Nebraska basketball. Illinois, Kofi, right? Not coming back. So Illinois still has what? Two scholarships?
Two scholarships.
Okay. Are they going to fill them?
They will fill one.
Okay.
That is obviously the goal. You're not going to go into a season, ideally, with two open scholarships. If you had one open and left it for, we saw quite a few this past season, guys who reclassed and enrolled mid-year. Mack Etienne was one of those.
That's right.
Frank Kepnang out at Oregon. And you just have mid-year transfers, Namari Burnett. That will say, I'm good. I'm going to leave this place in the middle of the season, and Lon's not going to like you, and he's going to give some heat to you on the radio. But Illinois, if they were to have a scholarship, would be able to pursue those opportunities. So that wouldn't be too bad of a thing to have one. But being honest, and the staff will tell you this themselves, they need another big man. They need to find another one. And here, now that the G League Combine has finished up.
That's right.
And the NBA Combine is going on and will be done end of the week. You're going to have some guys start to make some decisions. There are going to be individual workouts with teams, but certain players are going to know, like, okay, I'm not going to get picked. Do I want to go G League? Do I want to go overseas? Or do I want to go back to college? And there's an expectation that there will be a handful of guys that will be available now in that transfer portal here soon.
It is interesting because you look at that and you think to yourself, well, something is flawed with the idea that you have two scholarships still open. However, I doubt that this is, I don't want to say it's common, but I'm guessing that there's more than one team that has a scholarship or two open at this point. And I don't even know, would I dare say that this is a strategy on Illinois' part, or they just missed on, I mean, let's be honest, they missed on some guys that they thought they were going to get. So I think at this point they'd rather be full knowing what they have, but with the news of Kofi, I mean, I could understand how a big guy, before they understood whether or not Kofi was going, and the idea that you've got Omar Payne on your team, I could understand how a big guy out there, especially in the transfer portal, is going to sit there and say, well, you know what, I'm going to go spend my senior year at Illinois and play behind Kofi and Omar, and not play, in other words.
Right.
So I could understand that part to where now all of a sudden a big man looks at this situation a little bit different. With Kofi out of the way, if you will, unless a miracle happens, then now he's probably, a big man's probably looking at that going, okay, Omar Payne only averaged 3 points a game last year, didn't play all the time at Florida. I think he's a guy that I could go in and either beat out or at least compete with for playing time.
Sure. Yeah, and that would be certainly expected. And like you said and you highlighted, it was almost fortunate that you were able to get someone like Omar Payne, who was once a top 50 recruit, to come before the final decision on Kofi was made. Now, at that same time, there was a feeling, and Georgie hadn't officially announced what he was going to do, I think, at that point in time, but that was talked about behind the scenes, so he was kind of filled in on that as far as that goes. But yeah, you would hope that someone out there, and look, it's late in the process, you already got players on campus for workouts. But there are going to be some guys, like I said, that will be coming back to college that maybe don't go where they were last year.
Okay.
So Illinois will hope to attract one of those to put in a rotation with Payne, with Hawkins. As far as having spots open, it's just a different year because you get Trent and DeMonte back, but their spots are open.
Right.
So those are two that you would say, well, they came back. In a normal year, you'd be full.
That's great.
But then also, like, Io and Kofi – I mean, you knew Iowa was going to be gone.
Yep.
Kofi, you
probably had a good feeling.
You had a good feeling that there was a decent to good chance that he was going to be gone. Georgie, I don't know if you would have expected him to go pro. Adam, that one caught you off guard.
Out of nowhere.
And then someone like Jermaine leaving, I mean, that's just kind of the natural attrition that you come to expect. So I think I counted it up today that there were seven scholarships that came open. When you think about Io, Kofi, Georgie, we're counting here on fingers in the studio. Jermaine, Adam, and then DeMonte and Trent. So that's seven scholarships that came open. So
you're not usually going to have.
Yeah, you filled five. So that seems like a decent sized haul coming in. It wouldn't be a normal class of, oh, we got seven guys coming in on a freshman class or anything like that.
And those five are Goody, Plummer, who's a transfer from Utah.
Podziemski
from Wisconsin.
RJ Melendez.
Okay, that's four.
Omar Payne.
Okay, so, yeah, a lot of movement. Even though when you look at this Illinois team next year, there'll be some familiar faces. And, again, because of a guy like DeMonte and Trent and also Andre Curbelo and, of course, a Coleman Hawkins and such. So there's going to be a little bit of a feel of, yeah, this is kind of a similar team. But, of course, no Io, no Kofi. And then, you know.
No Adam.
Right. So that'll be the biggest one. Or Georgie. Right. Yeah. I mean, he's the one that you're going to maybe not on the court notice as much, but off the court especially, it's going to be Georgie. We're like, well, where's our Georgie soundbite? Where's our Georgie press conference? Those are like must-see TV. You guys in the media.
That's a big void for us, man.
You just lost one of the better people you'll ever interview. You totally did.
Absolutely.
It'll be interesting to see who kind of takes the mantle of the goofiness on this Illinois team. Is there anybody that you could think of? Is DeMonte goofy not in front of the camera? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so he's one of those. He seems like he'd be a guy that would play some pranks, do that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. like be a really good teammate.
Absolutely. If you'll catch him on Snapchats or Instagram stories, and he's clowning around and cracking some jokes. And
I love it.
To us, he's a little bit different. But
yeah, he's
quiet.
You
get him loose, and he can be a little funny to us. But, yeah, we don't necessarily see that side of it a lot. We are, as far as the media goes, we lost a lot.
You did.
With the attrition here. Io was great.
Really good.
Kofi was really good as well.
Yep. And Georgie was
there
for
was
a quote anytime he needed it.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame, because he didn't care what he said.
No.
He just would, I mean, he would be rapping on your Zoom calls. So that's what you miss with a guy like Georgie. All right, Heath on the U of I Illini Link text line said, is the WOW player still in play, Derek?
Hey, you putting me on the spot.
I'd say. Could we still be surprised by a transfer?
Yeah, you could still be surprised.
I mean, I guess
the transfer coming in is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, someone that's not currently on the radar that could pop up and end up at Illinois. Yeah, I could see that happening.
That guy down
south. Now, I know the WOW is referring to the guy down south. That one, man.
Can we just think of that for a second?
Sure.
And what a guy like EJ Liddell would bring to this team. Now, you had told me last year, I think, that E.J. Liddell does not want to play the five.
No.
He does not see himself as a five. He does not, if he's going to play in the NBA, it's not going to be as a big man. It's more of a guy like a four, which is really his natural spot. So the addition, I mean, I think you even told me one time that if Kofi stayed, you may have a better chance of getting a guy like E.J. Liddell, because then it's for sure... It's almost like Isaiah Williams. Illinois told him that he could be a quarterback, and they gave him a lot of chances to be the quarterback. But at some point, Isaiah Williams finally just said, all right, you know what? I'm not probably to the level that I need to be a quarterback in Division I, so I'm going to go ahead and go to a position that I was recruited by a lot of heavyweights for, and that's wide receiver, because I think I can make money in the NFL doing that. So I think for Isaiah to do that now, but if you're EJ Liddell and you come here and Brad Underwood says, look, you can play four all day for me. But if all of a sudden you get into a spot where Omar Payne's injured or Coleman Hawkins is injured, and it's like EJ, and I know it's positionless basketball, let's be honest, but all of a sudden you're saying, okay, EJ, you're going to have to play back to the basket. And he's sitting there going, no, I do not want to do that. Mm-hmm. I told you that. But sometimes you can't help it.
Sure, and that's the situation in Ohio State, where they could have done themselves a big favor by going out and securing that five spot and adding some depth there. They got Joey Brunk from Indiana, but he missed all last season with an injury. And there's just that question, well, how good is Joey Brunk anyway? That's is he fair. Good enough to be like, okay, we're going to play him 25 minutes a game? Or if he struggles or if he gets hurt again, it's like, okay, EJ or Zed Key. But yeah, EJ, I saw this week at the G League Combine without shoes measured below 6'6".
Wow.
So he's like 6'5¾" without shoes, throws shoes on there. He's close to 6'8". Okay. That's not a five man.
No.
Obviously.
No.
And he needs to be more of a skilled multidimensional four that plays on the perimeter. Now, some of that has to do with EJ's own development. Like, he needs to get better with the ball in his hands. But
I agree.
When you're playing at Ohio State where you're the five, you're not put in those situations where you're trying to maximize those kind of skills or just getting those kind of opportunities. And, yeah, he doesn't want to come back to the Big Ten and be like, all right, you're guarding Dickinson tonight.
Exactly.
Or you're guarding Travion Williams. Like, that's not who he should be. He should be more of a along the lines of a Draymond Green. And, again, like I said, he's not – close to Draymond as far as ball skills right now, but that's just kind of the mold that he needs to be within.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
For the best of his pro potential. So there's been talk around him.
Okay.
And there was an article in town that didn't make, it made headlines and didn't make the family too happy. And I don't know. Illinois would always have their eyes open or their arms open for if that ever came their way.
He's not even in the transfer portal.
He's not in the portal, so they're not doing anything, and they wouldn't be doing anything. But I think that his family in general, because you think back to the original recruitment, and the family really wanted him close to home.
Okay.
Like, he's got brothers and sisters, and his parents wanted him close to home, but ultimately they let EJ make the best decision for him, whatever he felt was best, and he wanted to go Ohio State. So I think that there is kind of a pull to be like, hey, come closer to home.
No
doubt. Play in the Big Ten, play at a place that has a five. Like, there is some of that line of thinking that is on the table.
That's fair, and what an impact. And that's kind of where I started this. If a guy like EJ Liddell, not like E.J. Liddell, if E.J. Liddell came to this Illinois team, that makes a huge impact. I don't know what his war would be on a team like Illinois. Is it four? Does he improve you by four wins if E.J. Liddell?
I can see that.
I mean, I can't too. I think he's a first-team All-Big Ten guy.
He was last year.
So you're bringing in a first-team All-Big Ten guy to your team. That it's interesting. It's just here we are, and like, I know it's, I don't think it's year one of the portal, but it's really year one of how we all understand it, and now you almost treat it like free agency. Like, whereas the Cardinals, you're looking at that going, all right, do they replace DeYoung with a shortstop? Here's your list of free agent shortstops. Illinois is now looking at this going, all right, well, we haven't had a four for 48 years. So who are the fours out there that we could get? But again, a guy like EJ Liddell, not even in the transfer portal.
He's not.
So Lindy brought up a good one, Grandison Hutcherson. I'm really excited to see him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of skills as far as being with his length, 6'5", 6'6". He's got exciting rise off the floor, elevation, finish above the rim, and he's a dead-eye shooter. He shot 40-some percent from three. I know it was D3, but you heard a lot of, and you do got to take some of it with a grain of salt as far as, oh, you should have seen him in practice against Iowa every day.
Right.
I believe some of that, though.
Yeah.
Like, when you talk to not only coaches but guys that are on the team, it's like, man, he would get the best Iowa on a certain day or give Iowa a hard time. And then it wasn't just Iowa. It was just that guard group when you had Iowa and Trent and Felice and Hutcherson playing on that scout team role. And as he was healthy at that point in time, showed that he had the talent to make an impact. So now I understand the skeptics. I understand those that are excited, and it's somewhere probably in the middle where you have a guy that you look at his highlight tape, you just look at his skill set, is exciting. At the same time, he hasn't played in a game in more than 2 years.
Well, and we've been watching this with BBV, with Bossman, right? So you're looking at that, wondering when he's going to be available, and it's always just injuries getting in the way. So I think in the back of your mind, you have to be cautious with that. I don't mean Illinois being cautious with his health. I mean, as a fan, being cautious to say, oh, he's going to come along and play big minutes for Illinois this year. Lindy also said, Lon, why would you want a guy from the state that's already said no to you to have the ability to do it again? I'm not using his other term. I'm with you on that, and there hasn't been anybody that's ripped on EJ Liddell more than me. I wouldn't even say his name for 2 years. But if he wants to come be a part of this team, then, but I know what you're saying there. Like, let's say all of a sudden he enters the transfer portal. So then you re-recruit him, kind of like your guy, Ty Washington.
Okay, I understand what you're saying now.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what he means, that, okay, if he does enter the transfer portal, and all of a sudden you spend all this quality time trying to recruit him, and then he says, nope, I'm not coming there again, then I guess he would remain enemy number one.
That's true.
But I am always forgiving when they...
If he's trying to go close to home and he picked the other side of the border and...
I mean, for years, I hated him at Smith because he would run for about 200 a game against the Cardinals. And then all of a sudden, near the end of his career, Emmett Smith is in a Cardinals uniform. And I'm like, Lon, you got to make a choice here. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to root for him then. As long as he's wearing the bird on the helmet, I'm going to root for him. So if EJ wants to come put his state across his chest, then I'll pull for him.
If that guy is in the transfer portal, a first team all Big Ten, everything you need at the four, if you're going to be in situations where you're playing Hawkins at the five, can you imagine... That's the kind of guy you need to like own the glass and play physical inside of the four spot. If he's just available, that's the job of Brad Underwood and staff is to do everything possible to go after that guy and to try to sell him on, hey, pick Illinois this time.
I agree. Totally agree. Bill from Troy has a great one, but I'm not saying it. Bill, you just started making me laugh. That was really, really,
I saw that as well.
Really good.
That was pretty good.
Trevor's in there laughing now. and it's clean. Like, it's clean, but I just can't say it. A 217 said, big women's basketball signing for Illinois. Croatian guard, I get you, do you say it, Hannah Moll? M-U-H-L, sister starts for UConn. Fingers crossed that that turns into a series. Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not sure. Wait a minute. I'm not sure I'm ready to play UConn in women's basketball. No. I don't want that series.
Well, I mean, if it's from the same bloodlines of someone that's balling out at UConn.
I agree with you.
You want that.
Now, I'm all about getting her.
If series means you're squaring up with UConn, then which it does. I don't know about that one.
You are not ready to face Minnesota, let alone UConn. I mean, let's be honest. So
it might be one of those, like, if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, you want the Dodgers to come in town because we just want to watch the Dodgers. Right?
So well, that's true.
We could at least do that.
I guess if UConn wants to come play at State Farm Center in a home and home, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, take this, you know, the picture that's going to go on the social media. Here are the sisters, and then let's just see what UConn's got.
That picture that shows Illinois up 2-0.
There you go. Yeah.
When we had a lead over the Huskies of UConn. All right, that was Bill said I cleaned it up for my real thought. All right, you did a good job on that one. All right, that was a lot of talk on something I didn't know we were going to talk about, but the point of it is Illinois plays at Marquette in the Gavigan.
Shaka Smart.
That's right. That's right. With hair.
With hair now,
because he shaved it off,
yep.
Like, nobody thought that he actually could grow hair, I think, or a lot of people didn't think that.
You would think that shaving it... Said it didn't look very good. It's kind of cool.
Oh, man, I thought he pulled that off perfectly. Yeah, I mean, he's athletic built. Yeah, I thought Shaka looked good with the no hair. So, but then this year, all of a sudden, he had hair.
Still not forgiving him. I had Texas in the championship game.
I don't think
in my bracket.
I don't know about championship, but I think a lot of people had them going Final Four. Were they down in that left, the bottom left bracket? Isn't that funny how I can throw out I know we've talked about this before. I could throw a team out to you like Ohio State, and you immediately know they're up in the upper right bracket. Isn't it weird how that is? Like, that's the things I remember in life. I don't remember kids' birthdays, like my nephews and nieces. All of a sudden, I look on Facebook, and it's my niece's birthday, and I feel like a heel. But it's like, oh, but I remember that Ohio State was in not only in the top right bracket, but the bottom portion of that bracket. That's how pathetic we are as sports people.
That's who we are.
That's how it is. All right. We didn't talk any NBA. Trevor, do you have like a cool thing for us to do?
I can.
Okay. Well, you don't then. Okay. Well, the only reason I say that is
I know.
At 4:30 it says Trevor will come up with something.
I can come up with something.
No, let's talk NBA and even a little NHL. Can you do one research for me? Can you try to find out when the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup?
Sure.
Okay. And then I want to touch on that because the Canadiens are playing tonight against Vegas with a chance to advance to the Stanley Cup. It has been a drought. It's been a while for Canada's, you know, for Canada to get teams into the cup. And listen, that's a proud country when it comes to hockey. So for them not to be able to do a lot of what we think, that's, you know, that's kind of hurting them a little bit. So, all right, we'll do that. If you want to weigh in, you can on the U of I Line I Link text. Line I Link text line, that's 359-2255. We actually have somebody calling in right now on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. You can follow us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5.
And you are at?
Lante, ESPN, CU.
There you go. I'm at DPiper247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyj.com. Or you can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
We are back.
Cardinals baseball is back. Kick off your summer at Busch Stadium. The Cardinals 2021 season is filled with great matchups, including the Cubs, Dodgers, Giants, Royals, and more. As usual, the promotion schedule is packed with jerseys, bobbleheads, and other great giveaways. There's something for everyone at Busch Stadium this summer. We can't wait to see you back at the ballpark. Get your tickets at Cardinals.com. The St. Louis Cardinals, time to fly. Back by popular demand, the Yachty Tumbler returns to Busch Stadium on Friday, June 25th and Saturday, June 26th. Each of those dates, 15,000 fans ages 16 and older take home a stainless steel, power-coated tumbler featuring Yadier Molina.
Molina serves it into right center. There it is! Hit number 2,000!
That's Friday, June 25th, Saturday, June 26th. The Cardinals host the Pirates. Tickets at cardinals.com/promotions.
Illini Link is the University of Illinois Alumni Association's new professional networking and flash mentorship platform. Join the Illinois alumni community at illinilink.illinois.edu. Network with other alumni in your industry. Mentor students or other alumni in a short-term or long-term format, depending on your availability. Find a mentor for yourself. Join the Illini Link community today at illinilink.illinois.edu. Go Illini!
Here's what people are saying about PDR Automotive in Urbana. The following reviews are from actual customers in the last 5 months. They were kind and helpful. They offered a very thorough evaluation. Their staff was friendly and attentive. They were quick, reasonably priced, and kept me informed during the process. They did a great job with what I requested. They were very professional, and it was a great overall experience. If you're looking for an honest automobile mechanic that will fix your car the first time, visit PDR Automotive on Cunningham Avenue in Urbana. Did you know that the largest security monitoring company in our area has been sold? You will if you try to give them a call.
All of our representatives are currently busy.
When it comes to your home security and peace of mind, the last thing anyone wants to hear is
the estimated hold time is 96 minutes.
Don't be left on hold. Trust the local and family-owned company who have been doing this for almost 50 years. Trust Barcom. Give them a call at 217-679-2387. They'll actually
Barcom Security.
Answer the phone. Barcom Security. Have a secure day.
I'm Ben Quattrone, owner-operator at Sarah Champagne. I enjoy a good game like anyone else, but not when I'm buying a car. At Sarah Champagne, located in Savoy, we've got multiple franchises, and we're transparent, no haggle, no BS, no hassle, and our price is generally lower than anywhere else you'll find. We've always got 30 cars under $10,000. We have luxury models, too. We do business a little differently at Sarah Champagne. Most of our customers really appreciate it. Visit sarahchampagne.com, sarahchampagne.com, and look at 500 cars.
If you need professional painters, look no further than Fresh Coat Painting. Locally owned Fresh Coat Painters of Champaign handle interior, exterior, residential, and commercial painting jobs. No matter how large or small, they take care of it with a genuine smile and with utmost courtesy. And they offer contact-free estimates and same as cash financing. For a contact-free estimate, just go to FreshCoatPainters.com. Stay local. Go with a professional painter you can trust. FreshCoatPainters.com. Your lawn is an important investment. Let Spring Green take care of that lawn. Your local, family-owned and operated Spring Green has been committed to beautifying your neighborhood through quality, service, and professionalism. Spring Green's full program customers are backed by their guarantee of satisfaction. Smart Money Magazine reports that consumers value a home with a well-maintained lawn and landscape up to 11.3% higher than the base price. Why don't you call Spring Green today, 359-2111, or visit them at spring-green.com.
CarNewsRadio.com.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
No one in AA said to me, why would a nice young girl with such a great future drink so much? They told me about themselves, and I found out that there were a lot of other people who were just like me. They drank only because the desire to drink was stronger than anything else. They didn't say to me, if only you'd do this, you wouldn't drink. In AA, they said, welcome, come in and sit down. We know how you feel. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works.
In East Central Illinois, over 100 AA meetings and almost 20 Zoom meetings in our district each week. AA-ECI.org.
Hey Illini fans, it's your girl, Chinee Ogumike. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You do. You really do. Trevor Valise as well. Jake, who is one of the bigger Murray State fans. In fact, he's the biggest Murray State fan that listens to the show. He said on the U of I Illini Link text line, shout out to Murray State great campaign. Had 29-9 in game two, but the Bulls said he couldn't play in the league. And you said that's true.
I pulled it up during the break. There was a quote in a Chicago Sun-Times article where it said, we knew the second practice, this is coming from someone in the Bulls organization, we knew the second practice that he was after he was acquired that he couldn't play at this level. The only reason it took two practices was because we thought maybe it was the nerves in the first one. Wow. Any coach that says different is lying.
Well, you're going to miss, right?
Yikes.
But that's pretty weird to like hear that. A team actually come out and say, well, here's the reason. We just didn't think he was any good. Well, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, and now he's absolutely lighting it on fire in the Western Conference Finals.
That's crazy.
No surprise the Bulls are the other end of some kind of joke or embarrassment. You know, they're up there with the Knicks, who are actually made the playoffs this year. So we're kind of taking up that mantle, I say we as the Bulls.
Let's pile on the Cardinals real quick. Who's the kid they got rid of? Garcia?
Yeah.
He's like third in all-star voting right now.
Adolis
Garcia, who's big. He's a big dude.
Did you hear McLaughlin? It was, I forget which day it was, but was talking, like giving credit. He was listening to, or he was listing Adolis Garcia, Randy Arozarena, Ozuna, Alcantara. He was listing guys that have turned into proven big league players and good evaluations on the Cardinals, but there were guys that they gave away.
Right.
Not Ozuna. Ozuna's different.
They acquired him.
I think they brought up Ozuna to say they had to trade Alcantara to get Ozuna.
Well, the kid that pitches in Arizona now.
Oh, Zach Gallen.
Yeah, Zach Gallen. No, I don't want to.
But then you're like, where are those guys? Why are they not wearing the uniform?
Right. I mean, I don't want to go into a Cardinals diatribe here, but you're right. I mean, those players were identified by the St. Louis Cardinals as talents. And then they just didn't give them enough, either give them enough time or the grass was greener.
Kept the wrong guys.
That's exactly right. Now you're starting to see something out of Tyler O'Neill. And if Harrison Bader could ever stay healthy, he could play a role if you had other guys that could hit. The problem is, I'd rather have a guy that can hit and is average defensively than a unbelievable defenseman who A, can't stay healthy, and B, hits 200. I got enough 200 guys on a lineup, so That's what it is.
Yeah, I didn't mean to turn that.
Well, no, that's my fault.
By the way, really liked your guys' Cardinals segment yesterday. I'm not saying that sarcastically. The first opening segment where Derek was going like the, I forget the teams you listed, like the Brewers have a better offense. Seattle has a better offense. Seattle. And then he goes, the Diamondbacks do. And Lon's like, what? I actually clipped up one little bit. We got a new hotkey on the board.
Oh, really?
The last one down there.
Oh, we suck. That could be used for a lot of different teams that we talk about here on the drive. So we'll keep that handy for. Hey, John just mentioned Luke Voit as well. So another guy.
Yep.
That is moved on and doing some things for the Yankees, of course. I think he's been hurt this year quite a bit. So, all right, I mentioned before the break, and then I want to talk some NBA, but the last team from Canada to win a Stanley Cup, and I appreciate the Muhammad listener firing this in, then I was looking at it here, it was 1993, the Montreal Canadiens, who I think own 8 Stanley Cups. But it is amazing how that has just changed over time. I mean, when you look at it, 71 was the first cup. And then you went on, and here's what you had. You had Canadians, Boston, Canadians, Flyers, Canadians, then Islanders 4 times, then Oilers twice, then Canadians, then Oilers twice, then Calgary, and then Edmonton. So the point is, you had a ton of Canadian teams early on, but then all of a sudden, from 93, you've had just all American-based teams. Now, they have plenty of Canada, you know, Canadian players on their team. So, but I just think if you're a country like Canada that really honestly prides itself on hockey, they look at themselves as, you know, the hockey capital of the world. And then all of a sudden, the last time one of your teams hoisted a cup was 93. That's strange. Mm. But to that point, tonight, Montreal hosts the Golden Knights from Vegas, and Montreal is up 3-2 in the series. So Vegas has to win tonight on the road to even this series up to try to get it to Game 7. Of course, the other series, which will happen tomorrow night, is deadlocked at 3, and that's the Islanders and Lightning. That's been a fun series to watch. But it's just interesting. It's just something to note as you watch the Canadiens tonight. I would assume that even people that like Calgary, that like Edmonton, you know, just pick a Canadian team. I would assume that country is really behind Montreal right now for that. So I don't know. They won't let us in the border, and they won't let anybody come down. If you're wanting a vacation somewhere, now's a good time to do it down south because there's no Canadians, unless they've changed that. Now, I personally love meeting Canadians when I'm down in Florida because they're beer-drinking guys. They love to chat hockey. I mean, they're right up my alley. But, yeah, they can't even get
there. Talk some fishing?
A little bit.
You could.
A little bit.
Sure, you could. You don't necessarily have to.
I've been there 5 times to fish, so I can maybe fool myself for about 5 minutes. And then they'd probably get a lot more technical, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If you're wanting to talk about bluegills bedding, that's good. But I'm not big on the northern. I don't know how to get that. All right, NBA. You've got a series that is now 1-0. Milwaukee. No. Atlanta.
How about that?
What is going on there? Trae Young went off, didn't
he? A heck of a game last night. Trae Young goes for 48, a career high.
Woo!
And we sit here talking about one of the first things that comes to mind with the NBA playoffs. I mean, we're not pessimists here or looking at the downside, but it's the number of stars that aren't playing in the playoffs right now. Of course, LeBron being out, AD, KD, but Chris Paul not playing.
Yep.
And Kawhi, Chris Paul back tonight for the Suns. But Trae Young has been just absolutely otherworldly.
He really has.
And it's kind of like a young Curry type deal with him, where the way he's emerging, and he's not the same dead-eye shooter, at least as far as efficiency. Like, he can pull from 30 plus and knock those down. But his off-the-dribble game, he's so quick and getting into the lane and being able to throw lobs and make passes. But the floater, he was unstoppable for a Milwaukee team that beats the Nets. And then you get this matchup, which the Hawks have been a fun story, and they knocked out your Sixers, which wasn't fun for you.
No.
But they're just going, okay, this series might go 5.
Yeah.
And the Bucks will run steam through them. They don't have anybody that can guard Giannis. Hey, they're here to play, and with Trae doing what he's doing, I mean, that's it's a pretty fun deal.
It must be a good team.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they must have done a good job getting what they need at each position and then throwing a kid like Trey Young in who's been just so fun to watch.
They added Capella to go with Collins, and you got two dudes last night to combine for 34 rebounds.
Wow.
Both go for double-doubles. They physical, athletic guys down low that can just, yeah, own the boards and be able to catch lobs and finish around the rim. They got shooters. They got Bogdanovich. They got Gallinari, Herter. And while he's not the same guy anymore, but Lou Williams is someone that can get it going off the bench for certain stretches. So they've done a good job.
And their two best, not best, but latest draft picks, Reddish and Hunter, haven't even played.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize
this year. Reddish has been hurt.
From Duke?
DeAndre Hunter from Virginia has been hurt.
Wow. So they're not, like, not doing well. They just haven't been.
Yeah, but they looked good before they got hurt is my point last year. So
that's unreal. Okay.
It's just kind of fun to see the narrative that's starting to, or that is changing with Trae Young, where it was, okay, he's a fun player. Mm-hmm. And then even at Oklahoma, it was like, there are going to be five shots he makes in a game that have to be on SportsCenter that you've got to see, but he's going to take 15 more that aren't very efficient. And the numbers, I mean, he's just going to be one of those fun players that how far do you go with him? And the Hawks traded out for the Mavs to get Doncic. And
That's right.
The Hawks should have got Doncic. Well, now, not to say that this is going to put Trey above Luka, which it's not going to, but now you got, like, bona fide superstar with bona fide superstar.
That's cool. And he's fun to watch. I enjoyed watching him in college. And in turn, I enjoy watching him in the NBA. And it's just one of those where I didn't like the idea that he beat my Sixers, but he's certainly a guy that I enjoy watching. So, and if he made it to the finals, I would be fine with that. Oh, wait, by the way, Trevor, somebody called in, right? The Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. Now, didn't go on the air for good reason, right?
He was frustrated with Ben Simmons, let's put it that way. He wanted your thoughts on the $143 million four-year extension and Simmons in general not being able to shoot and being an NBA player who can't shoot.
We suck. That's my thoughts. It's ridiculous that you're paying Ben Simmons that kind of money. The Sixers came out today. They have to do this. They came out today and said, we are fully behind Ben Simmons. We feel like we're good with him. And, you know, because what are they going to do? Come out and say, we are done with Ben Simmons. And
they kind of did the other night.
Well, I know.
Well,
not management.
Yeah, right.
But you're right. I mean, like, Doc Rivers is like, is he a good enough point guard for your system, basically? And he's like, I don't know, John. And then, you know, Embiid basically ripped him. But now management has to come out for one of two reasons. If they truly are going to keep him, they've got to have his back, right? So that he's not just pouting all the time. But number two, if you don't want every other team in the NBA to know that, like, we can give you Kevin Herter. Is that his first name?
Yeah.
Kevin, yeah.
Although at this point, Atlanta may be like, I don't know. No, I'm kidding.
The hypothetical deals are interesting, though, right?
Yes.
Because he's still, like, what is he, 24?
Yeah.
And I'm not advocating that he's going to suddenly turn into a shooter, but I mean, this is a 24-year-old guy who's, like, the best defensive player in the league, so that should garner you something.
I agree.
Right?
Like, and that's like what Matt Cilic said the
other
day.
It's not like you're just trading, you know, some 33-year-old journeyman who can't shoot anymore.
Right,
like,
right.
You should be able to get, I don't know, like the lottery was just the other night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the order was determined. The Bulls didn't get anything because it went to the Magic. So, like, the Magic have two picks in the top five or whatever.
Yeah, you would think.
Are the Magic really going to be? They might as well just, like, trade for Ben Simmons with that if they want to.
That's true.
I mean, are they really going to do anything with it? What are they going to do? Draft another Mo Bamba who does nothing?
Yeah, that's a good point. Would it take two number ones to get Ben Simmons? Probably not. Probably just a one and some other dude on the Magic.
That's true.
And Nelson Fultz back.
Then again, I guess why would the Sixers want to draft two rookies high in the draft if they're trying to, you know, they probably don't want.
Agree.
They'd probably rather trade Simmons for somebody, right? Like
LaVine.
Zach LaVine, yeah.
Right. Or like CJ McCollum and some picks or something
That's true,
right?
That's true. Although you look at like Trae Young, when was he drafted? 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And what he's doing right now?
This is a good draft at the top.
And who are some of the other, I mean.
Well, you've got these weird G League guys,
Devin Booker? He's not, he can't be very old, right?
No.
So maybe the Sixers would take the chance. You know what, though? That, I don't even know as a Sixers fan if I want to trade him to Orlando. And all of a sudden, Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons both figure out how to shoot. And I'd be like, okay. And all of a sudden, the Magic win the title.
And they re-sign Dwight Howard and go on this epic run.
I just wonder if part of what he needs is somewhere like Orlando where nobody cares and there's no pressure on him to... Like, how does it help Ben Simmons to be traded to...
I'm
trying to think of, like, you know, like a high-profile situation, like Lakers or something. Like that, you know, then you'd be even more in the spotlight about how you can't shoot. LeBron's upset with him after practice, you know, blah, 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 blah.
So. LeBron loves him, though.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Andrew told me that.
Hmm.
So maybe, well, guess what, LeBron? You've got company now. You can have Ben Simmons. I don't know. Listen, I mean, what are the Sixers going to do? Nobody's taking $140 million. For 4 years, I can't imagine. Maybe they would, but I'd be shocked.
I just think they have to trade him, don't they? How can you see what just happened and be like, let's run it back? I just don't understand.
I'm with you. Unless you think that, like, you can repair that. But there again.
You need to move on. It's just, is there going to be another team that's going to give you a deal that you're going to be able to stomach for it?
Look what Damonte Williams did. I'm being dead serious here. As a shooter, he went, his junior year, he went like 12 Big Ten games without even scoring.
Yes.
Let alone make an outside shot.
Correct.
Last year, he led the country. I don't know that he finished leading the country, but.
Top 3-point percentage. So he was the most efficient. Didn't take the most threes, but most efficient 3-point shooter.
Damonte Williams did that about 3 miles from where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
Now, why can Ben Simmons, who's making $130 million over 4 years, not make himself into at least a Lante-type jumper?
Because during the offseason, Damonte hangs out with Dave Williams in a 100-degree gym in Peoria.
Well,
and Ben Simmons hangs out with the Kardashians.
You know what?
That's the difference.
You just dropped the mic on that.
Well said.
You just bang, bang is what Derek Piper just did. And that is why the Sixers, we suck. And will.
That is a great hockey, by the way.
That is a pretty good one. That was a great.
I just liked your inflection there. We suck. We.
Derek Piper just had the quote of the month.
Yeah, end scene right there.
Yes, without a doubt. Without a doubt. All right. Randy, you guys are sending in some doozies today that we can't say on the air. Unfortunately. All right, when we come back, we thank Hank Beatty, wide receiver coming in to play for Illinois, and then Jeremy Bush, head Illini football trainer at 5:30. We're guesty next hour. I can't wait. It's a drive.